All right. Well, tonight I've been given the privilege to try to teach you a little bit of something, and hopefully at the same time, you'll teach me as well. This is a class. I'd like to remind everybody. And as such, I do hope and honestly kind of request participation. That's how we learn from each other. Today we're going to be talking about something that I think is very important. Something that I feel like it's been missing, especially nowadays in this world, and sadly sometimes within the church itself. Talking about being united. Now, why is it important that we as a congregation be united? Anybody, real quick, just why is this so important? All right, let's try again. Somebody, go ahead. Whoever. I'm sorry, what's that?
To be a community.
To be a community, okay. Somebody else?
The world needs us. If we're not unified, if we're not together, then it's not going to be attractive.
Okay, that's actually a very good point. The world is constantly looking at us to see if we are united together, to see if we are what we proclaim to be. What else?
Avoid confusion.
Avoid confusion. A house divided will fall. Those are actually all very good answers. There's not a right or wrong answer. I just want to see what you thought, why it is important to be united. So today, we're going to be starting, going to be reading Psalm chapter 133. Psalm 133, all three verses. Psalm 133, all three verses. If anybody has it, go ahead and please read it.
Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious gold upon the ear, running down from the beard of Aaron, running down to the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon, descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life evermore.
Thank you, brother. So read here, the very first verse. I want to look at that real quick. It says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. I want you to look at this very closely. It says here, how good. Not just how wonderful, how magnificent, how great, but it says how good it is for brethren to dwell in unity. Do you remember where else in the Bible this is, how something was good? So I heard it. Somebody say it.
Creation.
Creation. At the end of every day, how did it always end? Do you remember? And God saw that it was good. If God himself looked at something and says, this is a good thing. This is something that I approve of. This is something that pleases me. This is something that I find favor and joy in. So to have the same wording there, it says, for behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. So dwelling in unity is a good thing. Honestly, you would think it's common sense. Of course, you know, you want to be united. Because remember, we are Christians, are we not? But what else are we besides Christians? What do we see each other as? What should we see each other as?
Family.
Family is very, very important. Think about it. All of you here have family at some point. I mean, you came from somewhere. Whether your parents, maybe your parents are no longer here with us. Maybe your parents are here. Maybe you still have siblings somewhere. But the point is, family has always been very important to most people around the world. It's a core thing. Now, we are Christians. Therefore, who is our Father? God. God is our Father. Therefore, that makes us what? His children. It makes each other
siblings,
you would say. Brethren. You are my brother. You are my sister. Whenever you need me, I am there for you. Whenever I need you, you'll be there for me. Now, here's the thing. The thing I love about the church. Not just people, in general, not just this congregation, but the church overall. And I've seen it many times, and it's wonderful to see that most places you can go as a Christian, you can go to a congregation you've never been to. Never in your life. It could be on the other side of the world. And most Christian brethren will welcome you into their homes with open arms, no questions asked, and they will treat you like they've known you their entire lives. And this is the way it should be, because we are a family. We are a massive family. This congregation, we have about, in Sundays, including everybody, we have about between 120, 140 people all together, including visitors. Brethren, members of the church, I'm not exactly sure, probably about 100, maybe a little bit more, somewhere around there. I'm not exactly sure. But I know for a fact that every single person here, every single brethren, if I had an issue, if I had a need, if I was struggling with something, I could go to any of you and say, Brother Bonner, I need help. Brother Randy, I need to talk to you. Brother Mark, I am struggling with something. And I know that they would immediately, let's talk, come here. And if they couldn't, they'd bring somebody else along. That is what it means to be united, to show a united front as a family, because we are a family. And it is very, very important, because as a family, we are stronger together. We're stronger when we are united. You have to remember, there are many of us throughout the world, but considering the percentage-wise, how many Christians do you think there are versus everybody else on the planet? We are a very, very small percentage. I would say less than 1%. And we only have each other. Yes, we have God. God's always there for us. But besides God, we only have each other. And it's so important to be united in that front. It's so important to dwell in unity, to show people that I am not alone. I am not by myself. That I have strength in numbers with my brethren. If I am hurting, somebody's there to help me. If I have fallen, somebody's there to pick me up. If I am struggling, somebody's there to carry me through. And that is what we should be. Now, that's how I feel, personally, as far as the brethren here. How you feel yourself, that's, you know, that's up to you. Think about it. Here's the thing, the funny thing about families. Do families always get along? No, absolutely not. Show of hands, those of you that have siblings. Raise your hand if you have siblings. All of you freshman kids, better raise your hand. You have like 7. Did you always get along with your family, with your brethren? No, still don't. I love my brother with all my heart. My little sisters, I love them as well. But growing up, we found every opportunity we had to fight each other, to just bring each other down whenever we could, blame each other on something else. But here's the thing, though. I was the only one that could fight my brother. I was the only one that could give him a hard time. Anybody else interfered? No, no. Big brother's there for that. And that's why I should be around here. We're not always going to get along. It's true. We don't. We have a difference of opinions. We have a difference of, I want to say beliefs, because that's where we should always be united, in our beliefs. But we will sometimes not get along with certain things. It's just, it is the nature of a family. But at the same time, whenever you see a brother in need, I'm there. You need somebody to lean on me. You need somebody to cry with, I'll be there. And it's a beautiful and wonderful thing to have. A united family, a united front, as we should, as Christians. And it says on here, it says, behold how good and how pleasant. It's not just good, but it is pleasant. It's wonderful to have that feeling that I have somebody that I can count on, I can rely on. Especially nowadays, it's so hard. It really is. It's so hard out there sometimes. Just the world beats on you day in and day out. And some people, I've seen this firsthand, whether it's at work, it might be a family member, it might be a neighbor, where they're just constantly on you, nagging, whether it's nagging you, bothering you, physically getting, you know, against you, just day in and day out, and it can wear on you. But it's always good to see and know that you can come here. Not even just here. I can call anybody. I guarantee you, Brother Mike, if I called you at 2 in the morning, say, I need to talk to you. I need to see you. I guarantee you, Brother Mike would, let's talk. Let's meet somewhere. Come to my house. I'll come to your house. And that's the way I feel with, I'm pretty sure, everybody here. Because it's a wonderful feeling. You have no idea until you really sit down and think about it to know that I am not alone, especially in this congregation. If you feel alone in this congregation, I want to apologize personally. If you don't feel like you can come to me at any time to talk to me. But at the same time, you have to know that we are here for each other. We are here whenever you need me, whether it's at 8 in the morning or 2 in the morning or at lunch or whenever. We should be there for each other. There's always somebody there that can help you out. There's always somebody there that will be there to support you. And that is a good thing. It's a pleasant thing. It's a wonderful feeling. I have seen how when people feel alone, when people feel like they have no more exits, they have no way out, I've seen what they do to themselves, to others. That's a very sad thing. And that is something I believe that should never exist in a Church of Christ. I'm not saying it doesn't. I'm just saying that I don't think it should. Because we have that support. We have that support system in each other. We are to be united always in everything. Well, I want to say everything. Because like, again, we are a family. And as such, we are going to argue. We are going to be upset with each other sometimes. We are going to maybe want to take a little time apart from each other. But in the end, though, if you need me, I will be there for you. The same should be for everybody else around here. You should be the person that people want to talk to, want to come to whenever they need help. You should be their strength. But that should be everybody. Because if everybody's that for everybody, then nobody should ever be alone. Now, it does say it is good for brethren to dwell in unity. But it doesn't mean just unity doesn't just mean, you know, being there for you, for me whenever you need me. I'll just sit back and wait for you to come to me. But it also means being good isn't just doing not bad. Does that make sense? Being a good person or doing good is not just, well, I'm not doing bad things, but I'm not really doing anything either to portray that I'm a good person or to help somebody out. Being good also means doing good. Give me an example of how you can do good in the world. There is so many things. Anybody? Benjamin? Pick up trash. Okay, that's a good way of being good. What else?
Put the shopping cart back in the little cat.
Shopping cart. You know, very quickly, I love that point right there. So there was a theory. It's called the shopping cart theory. I've seen it so many times talked about. Shopping cart theory talks about it measures how good a person would be, especially in a world where there would be no rules. Because what good does it do you personally to put the shopping cart back in its little corral? Do you gain anything out of it? Do you gain fame, fortune, any physical goods out of it? You get absolutely nothing out of it. But it shows that you are a good person. You are willing to take an extra step to make sure that nobody else is inconvenienced. Nobody's watching you. Nobody's grading you for it. You're not going to get in trouble for it. There's no consequences for not doing it. That is actually, it's one of my things. I try my supremacy. If I see a shopping cart, if I have the shopping cart, just put it back. Walk the extra 10 steps, put it out of the way. But yes, that is a good form of showing how good you would be in a world where if there was no rules. It's simply called the shopping cart theory. Read it. It's very interesting. Okay, what else?
Obeying traffic laws.
All right. Let's get a little bit more closer to the congregation. Within the congregation, How can you do good?
One way is to look outward instead of inward.
Okay, look outward instead of inward.
So you can actually see if somebody is maybe needing help or needing a friendly hug or something.
Okay. What else?
Praying for others.
Praying for others? That's actually very good. What else?
Open the door for someone.
Open the door for someone, Brother Eric says? Absolutely. What else?
Obey the law.
What law?
God's law.
God's law. Okay.
Your parents.
Your parents. Okay. What else?
Feeding the hungry.
Feeding the hungry. Helping those that need it. Now, all these things are great and wonderful things that show that we as Christians should be united is by showing how we do good. Trying to be show people that we do good. That we don't just talk the talk, but we also walk the walk. One of my things that I've always, growing up, we see them all the time. You know, you stop at a corner somewhere and there's somebody asking for money. There's a homeless person there asking for money. And a lot of times, what do we think? What have we all thought before? Do I give them money? No. Why not? I don't know. They're going to use it for something they don't need. Or it's their own fault they're in that. Or they're just lying. They're faking. You don't know. You know, they just, because sadly, that's the fact for a lot of people that they fake it. Just so you can get money. But the thing is, you personally, as a Christian, you don't know for a fact, unless you know for a fact that that person is going to use that money for something they shouldn't, or that that person doesn't need it, they're just doing it because they don't want to work or whatever. You do not know their life situation. You don't. How many of us drive up and pretend we don't see them? Look on our phone, or look straight, or try to avoid eye contact. Why do we do that? Because deep down inside somewhere, we know that maybe we should help. We know that maybe I should try to do something. But the sad thing is, a lot of times we're like, well, maybe somebody else will do it. That's a bad attitude a lot of people have. That's a lot of people have is that somebody else will do it. Somebody else will do that good. But the truth is, you as a Christian should try to find every opportunity to do good. No matter how big, no matter how small, whether it's picking up trash, whether it's putting a shopping cart back where it is, or giving somebody a couple of dollars, you don't know what a small act of kindness can do for a certain person. Honestly, a small act of kindness can change certain people's day completely, and sometimes even their entire life. I read many times of people who were like ready to just end it all, and because of one small gesture, one small act of kindness, they decided, you know what, maybe it's not so bad. It gave them that one extra push to keep going. And we as Christians, we need to try to do good in this world. And what better way to show the world that we are united but trying to do good in the world? The world at this moment, it seems like it's on fire. All over, wars everywhere. Disasters, when it comes to politics, everything, just everybody's fighting about everything everywhere all the time now. The truth is, though, it's nothing new, right? I mean, it's happened before in the past. Once we're gone, if the world's still here, it's going to happen again in the future. It's nothing new. But at the moment, though, we as Christians should try to be united, have a united front to show the world that we do good. We try to do good. Turn to Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Matthew 7:12. Somebody please read it if you get it.
Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do to them, for this is the law and the prophets.
All right, Brother Mark, one more time, a little bit louder.
Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets.
Thank you. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, what does it say? Do also to them. What else is people call this as well?
Golden
the golden rule. What is the golden rule? Everybody knows it. Say it. Somebody say it out loud.
Do unto others as you have them to do unto you.
Do unto others as you have them to do unto you. So basically, Treat others the way you want to be treated. I feel like that's very simple, common sense. Children understand that. But sadly, it seems like a lot of adults don't get that. They want to treat others however they feel like they want to be treated. But at the same time, they expect, require to be treated in a much better way. It's not the way the world works. It's not the way it should work, especially as a Christian. You don't treat others badly and then expect to be treated good. Because honestly, very few people are you going to treat terrible and they're going to treat you with kindness in return. Now, there have been examples before. You know, now we as Christians, we need to have that attitude of, doesn't matter how you treat me, I am going to treat you good. I'm going to treat you with respect and kindness. It's not easy to do. It's really not. Very few people can do it. Because our natural reaction is, when somebody does something to me, what do I want to do? React and do the same thing. What was the law of the Old Testament? Eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Have you heard the saying before? If the whole world did an eye for an eye, then what? Everybody would be blind. Basically saying that it has to end somewhere. The bad has to stop somewhere, and it should stop with us. We don't perpetuate the bad just because somebody else did bad. If bad comes to you, you should try to send good out. That's where the true test of a Christian sometimes is. Doing good to people that do bad to you. It's easy to be good to people that are good to you. I mean, you can even do good to people that just tolerate you. But to truly do good to people that do bad to you, that actively, purposefully do bad things to you, that is very hard to do. And that is where unity comes in as a family. Because there will be days where they will wear on you. There will be days where you're like, I just can't take this anymore. And that's when you need that brother to lift you up, that brother to encourage you, that sister to talk to you, that person to be there for you, just to give you enough courage to, or strength to keep going. This is, and you want to look at it a little bit more outside of the church, think about it. Parents, how many of you have children? Raise your hand. Show of hands. All right. Very, show of hands also, this is for the mothers. Show of hands of mothers that stay home with their children most of the day. There's a few of you. All right. Sometimes, by the end of the day, you know, your husband gets home. Are you exhausted? Are you tired? I'm sure you are. I mean, I saw with my mother, my poor mother. Four kids. Three boys and then a daughter. But three boys is rough. I mean, I'm sure Melissa, when you know, Grump, all these little boys are rough. Right, those of you men, you remember how you were when we were little. We were terrible little kids because we're boys. Boys are boys. Yes, we were, not to be mean or anything, but just boys do things probably you shouldn't do. I don't know how we still survived. But the fact is, what I'm getting at is the husband gets home and the mother's like, I'm tired. These boys have been at me all day. I don't know what to do. I need a break. I need help. And what does the husband do? Or what should the husband do? It's okay. Let me take it. Let me help you. Let me support you. Let me pick you up. Let me be there for you. Why? Because I love you. Because you're my family. You're my wife. You're my spouse. This is what I should do. And the same should be in the church. I am struggling. I need help. I am tired. The world is beating on me. I am tired of the world. Brethren, let me be there for you. Yes, sir. A good point. It is. Did everybody hear what brother said? Yes? Brother Leon is saying, is it hard to get used to it sometimes? Honestly, it can be. To get used to have a lot of people, you have to remember, a lot of people that come to the church are people that have seen the worst of the worst. People who have literally no one sometimes. Like, they find their family in the congregation. And it is hard for somebody to suddenly have a support system that they've never had. But that's where it's important to be united, not just in our beliefs, but also in our time that we spend together. Saturday, what's happening this Saturday? What are we doing Saturday? As a congregation. We're having a picnic, a congregational picnic. That means everybody's invited. I know not everybody can go. You know, you have your things to do. You might not be able to. Other obligations, that's fine. But if you can, you should join us. It'll be a wonderful event to see everybody gathered outside of the congregation here. Just enjoying each other's company, enjoying nature, some good food, some good talks. Whatever we do, it is a wonderful thing to have that support system. And we should make an effort to try to spend more time with each other outside of the congregation. I want you to think to yourself, I asked this a while back. Since the last time I was up here, and I asked this question, when's the last time you had somebody over to your house from the congregation? Whether for just to talk, for coffee, for tea, for dinner, whatever. When's the last time you open up your home to somebody else besides your immediate family? I think it's very important. I'm not saying you have to do it all the time. But if you can't remember the last time you opened up your home to another member of the church, I know people are like, I'm always busy. I get it. We have our lives. But can you not make a little bit of time outside? I'm not saying everybody has to go out to each other's homes all the time. But think about it. If it's been a while, are we really showing that unity outside of the congregation? Yes, we see each other here every day, all the time. Sundays, Wednesdays. Sometimes, you know, we have our the VBS throughout the week. You know, we have other things here, we'll gather here. But when's the last time you met with a brother from the congregation outside of the congregation, outside of this building? I just realized my time is almost up here. So we'll wrap it up here in a second. So we as Christians, we must dwell in unity. It is so important to show a united front. Just like parents, we have to show whenever we're before our children, and this is a very important thing. I tell people all the time, they're parents. You show a united front in front of your children. Why? Because if you don't, your children, because they are children, they will try to pit you against each other. I've seen it. I did it. Me and my brother did it. Put our parents against each other because, well, let's say we can do it, or because we want to get our way, or whatever it is. But we need to show a united front in front of the children. And the same way, we as a congregation, we need to show a united front in front of the world, because if we don't, the world will tear us apart. The world will try to rip us apart. They already do. We don't need to help them along. So, I'll stop there for now, and we will continue here in a bit. I don't know who's got...